All right, so we are diving in today. And I know a lot of you are really interested in these personality tests.
Yeah.
Maybe you've taken a few and you've got your score and you think, okay, now what, right?
Right.
We are taking a look at the Spiritual Seek website today.
Okay.
They've got a whole bunch of tests on there.
Uh-huh.
Mental Age Awareness Awakening.
Oh, wow.
Personality types. Even a youth wisdom test.
Interesting.
That one, I gotta admit, I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah.
But we're not just gonna skim the surface here.
Right.
We're gonna like dig deep and figure out how to actually interpret these results and what those numbers actually mean.
Yeah, that's key, right? Because I think a lot of people take those tests and then they get the results and they're like, okay,
now what?
What do I do with this exactly?
Yeah.
So one of the interesting things that the Spiritual Seek highlights is before we even get into the specific tests,
mm-hmm.
is this whole idea that your outer world
mm-hmm.
reflects your inner world. So essentially what they're saying is that the way we see reality is already being filtered through our own beliefs and experiences and biases and all those things that make us us.
So it's like you're looking through tinted glasses. Mm. You think you're seeing clearly, but there's already a layer of perception shaping what you see.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that's why it's so crucial to keep that in mind
mm.
when you are taking any personality test, because you might unconsciously choose answers that are more in alignment with how you want to be seen rather than how you actually are.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Like, you know, filling out a dating profile, you might emphasize your adventurous side.
Right.
Even if the biggest adventure you've had lately is trying a new coffee shop.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the Spiritual Seek emphasizes that that inner world filter
mm-hmm.
is amplified by several other factors that can really influence your test results as well.
Oh, so it's not just about the test itself. It's about the whole context of like who's taking it and what's going on in their head.
Exactly.
Okay. What kind of factors are we talking about here?
Well, age is a big one.
Okay.
So think about it. Like a teenager's understanding of responsibility is going to be way different than someone who's been, you know, managing a career and a family for 20 years.
Right.
So naturally, their scores are going to reflect those different life stages.
Yeah, you're bringing completely different experiences to the table.
Right. And then there's cultural background.
Okay.
Some cultures value extroversion more. Others prioritize introspection more.
Right.
And those cultural norms can unconsciously influence how you answer those questions.
So it's not just you as an individual. It's like the whole context that you're coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we can't forget open-mindedness.
Oh, yeah.
And this isn't just about being open to other people's ideas,
mm-hmm.
but being willing to really look at yourself honestly, you know, warts and all.
That's got to be tough to set your ego aside and be like, all right, let me really analyze what I'm doing here.
Yeah. And
I'm imagining it's way easier to just pick the answer that makes you look good.
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's not totally accurate.
That's one of the big challenges with any kind of self-assessment.
Yeah.
But the Spiritual Seek acknowledges that.
Okay.
And they build that awareness right into their tests.
Okay.
So for instance, let's look at the mental age test.
Okay.
It's a playful one, but it highlights how our experiences, not just our chronological age, you know, shape our answers.
Okay. So it's not about literally trying to think like a 20-year-old or a 7-year-old.
Right. It's more about the experiences that have shaped your mindset.
Okay.
I'll give this a great example. There's a question about illegal substances.
Okay.
One of the answers is simply, drugs are bad.
Okay.
Someone with limited life experience might pick that, you know, seeing it as a very black and white issue.
Right.
But someone who's seen the complexities of addiction or maybe even struggled with it themselves
yeah.
might choose a much more nuanced answer.
It's like the difference between reading about something in a textbook
right.
and actually living through it.
Exactly. And the Spiritual Seek points out that this test can get a little tricky because people try to game the system.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, they want to appear younger or older.
I could totally see that happening, trying to shave off a few years mentally.
Totally.
Okay.
But they've actually built that into the test design.
Oh, really?
Certain answers can add or subtract years from your mental age.
Oh, wow.
So it really encourages you to think about, are you genuinely reflecting? Or are you just trying to manipulate the score?
It's like they're saying, we know you might try to cheat, but we're one step ahead.
Exactly.
That's really clever.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this like inner world concept and then these other factors like age and experience.
Uh-huh.
What other tests should we unpack here? What about these awareness and awakening tests? Those sound intense.
They are.
Okay.
And they require a different kind of focus.
Okay.
They're less about, you know, specific personality traits and more about your capacity for introspection,
uh-huh.
really digging deep into self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
The Spiritual Seek even cautions that these tests might not be suitable for very young teens, or people who just aren't comfortable with self-reflection.
So if you're more of a go-with-the-flow type, maybe save those for when you're ready to, like, get philosophical.
Exactly. And that honesty factor is especially important here.
Okay.
You know, remember that inner world shaping your perception? Well, these tests really force you to confront that head on.
So it's not just answering questions. It's like challenging how you see yourself in the world.
Exactly.
Okay, let's break these tests down a bit.
Okay.
What are these results actually telling you?
Well, both the awareness and awakening tests use a three-level scoring system.
Okay.
You've got modest, intermediate, and high.
Got it.
So let's say you get a modest score.
Okay.
That might suggest that you're very much focused on the tangible world around you.
Mm.
You know, your job achievements, material possessions.
Okay.
And you haven't really explored those deeper being aspects quite as much.
So it's not a bad thing. It's just a different focus at that point in your life.
It's got it.
An intermediate score suggests that you're ready to explore further.
Okay.
You're aware of those deeper aspects of yourself. You're open to expanding your consciousness.
Okay.
And then a high score.
Uh-huh.
Well, that indicates someone who's actively seeking deeper meaning.
Okay.
Who's driven by a need to understand themselves and the world around them.
Those are probably the folks who really get a lot out of these tests.
Yeah.
Okay. But the awakening test gets even more specific, right?
It does.
It breaks things down into like four spheres of interest.
Right. They look at detachment, disillusionment, inconvenience, and symptomatology.
Okay. I know those sound a little intimidating.
They do.
But let's break it down.
Yeah.
Let's start with detachment.
Okay.
Is this like going full Marie Kondo and getting rid of all your possessions?
Not quite.
Okay.
It's more about recognizing those attachments, whether they're to material things or relationships or ideas, and understanding how they might be influencing you. It's not necessarily about eliminating things, but shifting your perception of needing them. So it's more about becoming aware of those attachments and how they might be shaping your choices.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. What about disillusionment?
Okay.
That sounds kind of negative.
It can be, but it can also be about letting go of those rose-colored glasses and seeing things as they truly are.
Okay.
It's about shedding illusions and false beliefs that might be holding you back.
So it's like that aha moment where you realize something isn't what you thought it was.
Uh-huh.
And it forces you to kind of reevaluate your priorities.
Right.
That can be uncomfortable.
It can.
But ultimately, it might lead to a more authentic understanding of yourself and the world.
Exactly.
Or inconvenience.
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like the opposite of what we usually strive for.
It does, right? We usually want things to be convenient.
Yeah.
But in this context, it's about recognizing that a life of constant comfort and ease might not actually be conducive to growth.
Well, okay.
Sometimes those challenges and difficulties can be catalysts for self-discovery and awakening.
So those moments when things get a little messy, a little uncomfortable, those can actually be opportunities for learning and growth.
Exactly.
I like that perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. What about symptomatology? That sounds kind of medical.
It is, in a way. It's about recognizing the different ways that spiritual awakening can manifest itself.
Okay.
Both physically and mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those changes can be confusing or even feel overwhelming.
Right.
So it's helpful to have some understanding of what might be happening.
So it's like having a guidebook for this whole awakening journey.
Exactly.
Like pointing out potential landmarks and detours along the way.
Exactly.
Okay, those four spheres definitely give you a lot to think about.
Yeah.
But let's switch gears now and talk about the great personality test.
Okay.
What makes this one so great?
Well, first off, it really emphasizes that inner world versus outer world dynamic we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
So they highlight the challenge of answering honestly about who you are versus who you want to be.
I'm guessing they see a lot of people presenting their ideal selves, even if it's not totally accurate.
Precisely.
Okay.
And they use this great example to illustrate this point.
Okay.
Conscientiousness.
Okay.
You might score high on conscientiousness on the test, indicating that you're responsible, detail-oriented.
Yeah.
But then you get behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah.
And suddenly those speed limits are just suggestions.
Okay. I feel personally attacked right now.
But it's about that gap.
I get it.
Between our test selves and our real-world actions.
Right. It's one thing to say you're conscientious. It's another to actually, like, live it.
Exactly.
Oh.
And this test doesn't just give you one score.
Oh.
It provides a psychic energy level and then detailed descriptions of 16 different personality traits.
Psychic energy.
Okay.
I'm intrigued. Break that down for me.
It's essentially an indicator of your mental and physical dynamism.
Okay.
Are you someone who is always on the go, always thinking, moving, doing, or do you prefer a slower pace? And the test categorizes this energy into low, intermediate, and high levels.
So it's not just how much energy you have, it's how you direct and utilize that energy.
Exactly.
Got it. And then you get those 16 personality trait descriptions.
You do.
What kind of traits are we talking about here?
It covers a wide range.
Okay.
Sociability, rationality, creativity, even things like spirituality and irony.
Oh, wow.
And they provide detailed breakdowns of each trait to help you understand how it manifests in your life.
So it's like getting a personalized personality profile.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool. But what if you take the test and some of those descriptions just don't feel right?
They actually encourage retaking the test, especially if you don't fully resonate with those initial results.
Oh, interesting.
Because they recognize that self-discovery is a process.
Yeah.
It's not a one-time event.
It's about fine-tuning your understanding over time.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to a test that I think is particularly relevant these days.
Okay.
The emotional intelligence test. What are the key things to keep in mind with this one?
This one gets straight to the point.
Okay.
No sugarcoating or ambiguity.
Right.
It's about how you actually react under pressure, not how you wish you did.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it gets a little tricky because they highlight what they call the self-awareness paradox.
Okay.
The test needs to dig deep into your emotions.
Right.
But it relies on your ability to recognize and articulate those emotions accurately.
So it's like the test can only be as good as your own self-awareness.
Exactly.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure you're being honest with yourself, especially when emotions can be so complex?
They suggest taking the test when you're relaxed, free from distractions.
Okay.
You know, imagine you're in a safe space where you can be completely vulnerable with yourself.
Yeah.
And choose your answers based on your genuine feelings, not what you think is the right or acceptable response.
It's like giving yourself permission to feel those emotions fully, even the ones you might normally try to hide. Okay, so you've done that. You've taken the test. You've been honest with yourself. What do the results actually tell you?
Well, you get what's called an EQ score.
Okay.
Your emotional quotient.
Uh-huh.
It ranges from 0 to 100.
Okay.
Most people score somewhere between 40 and 60.
Okay.
And the higher your score, the better you are at understanding and managing your own emotions, as well as recognizing and empathizing with the emotions of others.
So a high EQ is kind of like having a superpower when it comes to relationships and understanding the people around you.
It's definitely a valuable asset.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting point that the spiritual Sikh makes.
Okay.
Having a high EQ doesn't necessarily mean you're going to ace an IQ test.
Okay.
They're different types of intelligence.
Right. So you could be brilliant logically, but still struggle with that emotional intelligence piece.
Exactly.
And vice versa.
Right. They're both important in their own right.
Okay.
And speaking of IQ, the spiritual Sikh actually includes a logical intelligence test. But they approach it in a surprisingly nuanced way.
Oh, really?
They acknowledge that IQ tests can be overrated.
Okay.
And they don't really tell the whole story about someone's intelligence.
So it's not just about being a math whiz.
Not at all.
Okay.
They highlight its usefulness for fun mental training.
Okay.
And even practicing speed and accuracy if you're prepping for like a timed test.
Okay.
But they emphasize that your score is influenced by more than just your inherent intelligence.
Okay, what else?
What, your background, your familiarity with tests, and especially your age.
Right, so a teenager who's like fresh out of algebra class might have an advantage.
Exactly.
But it doesn't mean they're inherently smarter than someone with a different background.
Precisely.
Okay.
And to level the playing field, they've incorporated these age-based score multipliers.
Okay.
So for example, if you're between 10 and 12 years old, your score gets multiplied by 1.3 to adjust for your age.
So it's all about context.
Okay.
You can't just look at that number and assume that it's the whole story. Okay. And that brings us to the test I've been most curious about.
Oh, yeah.
The youth wisdom test.
This is a really interesting one.
Yeah. Can a test really measure wisdom, especially in young people?
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what's great is that they encourage a really thoughtful and playful approach.
Okay.
They specifically say, don't rush, don't stress about finding the right answer.
Uh-huh.
Just enjoy the process of exploring the questions.
I like that. It takes the pressure off and allows you to just dive in and see what you discover.
Exactly. Okay. And they address that age factor we were talking about.
Yeah, because obviously a 15-year-old is going to have more general knowledge than like a 9-year-old.
Right. So to make it fair,
uh-huh,
they've built in what they call an age bonus system.
Okay.
Which awards extra points to younger participants.
I see. So it kind of levels the playing field.
Exactly. Ensures that a fifth grader can score just as high as an eighth grader if they demonstrate that same level of wisdom.
That's really clever. What kind of questions are we talking about on this test?
They're divided into three main categories.
Okay.
General knowledge and history. Individual maturity and social maturity.
Okay.
So it's a blend of, you know, knowing facts.
Uh-huh.
And then having those deeper, more reflective personal insights.
So it's not just what you know, but how you apply that knowledge and how you navigate relationships and social situations.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they go beyond typical test questions.
Oh, you know, okay.
They emphasize proverbs, folk wisdom, historical events.
Interesting.
Really encouraging kids to connect with those timeless truths that have been passed down through generations.
It's like tapping into the collective wisdom of humanity.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
They use Greek gods as a scale for wisdom.
Wait, what? Greek gods? How does that work?
Well, they explain that each god kind of embodies certain characteristics.
Okay.
Some positive, some negative.
Uh-huh.
So they've created a spectrum with the least wise being Polyphemus, the one-eyed giant known for his lack of insight.
Okay, not the sharpest tool in the shed, metaphorically speaking.
Exactly.
Hey.
And the wisest being Zeus, of course, the king of the gods, known for his power and wisdom.
Okay.
So your score kind of places you somewhere on that divine spectrum.
So depending on your answers, you might be more of an impulsive Ares or a wise Athena.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a fun way to frame those results.
Yeah.
And then to make it even more engaging,
uh-huh.
they've included this quirky AI called Personality HPT Junior.
Okay.
That provides humorous comments based on your results.
So it's like having a virtual comedian commentating on your wisdom journey?
Precisely.
I love the thought they put into this.
Yeah, they really recognize that learning should be enjoyable.
Yeah.
And not just this serious academic pursuit.
I like that. And remember, they also include that logical intelligence test, which might seem a little old school given all the focus on EQ these days.
Yeah, it's true.
But they have good reasons for keeping it around.
They do.
I'm all ears. Why bother with an IQ test if it's so flawed?
Well, firstly, because it can be fun.
Okay.
Who doesn't love a good brain teaser?
Sure.
It's like a mental workout, you know, flexing those cognitive muscles.
Yeah.
And secondly, because it helps us remember that even with something as seemingly objective as an IQ test, there's always more to the story than meets the eye.
So they're not dismissing the value of logical thinking altogether?
Not at all.
Okay.
They just emphasize the self-paced nature of the test.
Okay.
So you can take your time, you know, really think through the questions without feeling pressured.
Right.
And you can even use it for time practice if you're prepping for a test that requires speed and accuracy.
So it kind of gives you the flexibility to approach it however you want.
Exactly.
Okay. But they also acknowledge that the score is influenced by a lot more than just inherent intelligence, right?
Exactly.
Now.
Your background, your familiarity with tests, and especially your age.
Right. We were talking about those age multipliers earlier.
Yeah.
So while it's fun to challenge yourself with an IQ test, it's important to remember that it's just one small piece of the puzzle.
Totally.
When it comes to understanding your intelligence.
Uh-huh.
All right. I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
In this first part.
Yeah.
We've explored this whole inner world concept.
Right.
And how that influences test results.
Uh-huh.
And we've got a good overview of all these really interesting tests.
Yeah.
On the Spiritual Seek website.
We've just scratched the surface.
Exactly. So join us for part two, where we'll delve deeper into these tests.
Yeah.
Explore those nuanced interpretations.
Mm-hmm.
And uncover even more insights about ourselves and these fascinating personality tests.
Looking forward to it.
See you there.
See you there. Welcome back. It's fascinating how these tests, you know, while they're designed to reveal insights about ourselves, they also kind of highlight the complexities of human perception and experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. We've been talking about how our inner world shapes how we see reality, but does it work the other way around? Like, can understanding these test results, becoming more self-aware, actually change how we experience the world?
That's a really great question. And it's one that the Spiritual Seek kind of touches on indirectly when they talk about this whole concept of awakening.
Okay.
They suggest that as we become more conscious and aware, we begin to see through the illusions and false beliefs that were once shaping our reality.
So it's like those tests are kind of giving us a glimpse behind the curtain.
Exactly.
Showing us the machinery that's been creating our experience all along.
Precisely. And once you see how it all works,
yeah.
you can start making conscious choices. about, you know, which beliefs to keep and which ones to let go of.
It's empowering, isn't it? Like realizing you actually have more control over your experience than you thought you did.
Absolutely. And that sense of empowerment can ripple out into all areas of your life.
Okay.
Your relationships, your career choices.
Yeah.
Even how you approach challenges and setbacks.
So it's like those tests aren't just about labeling yourself. They're about giving you tools to actually evolve and grow.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to remember that these results are not set in stone.
Right.
They're a snapshot of where you are in this moment in time.
Uh-huh.
And they can change as you do.
It's a journey, not a destination.
Well said.
Yeah.
And the spiritual Sikh uses a really interesting analogy when they're talking about this whole process of awakening.
Okay.
They compare it to climbing a mountain.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How does that work?
So as you ascend the mountain of awakening,
okay,
you gain a wider perspective. You start to see things from a higher vantage point.
Yeah.
And those things that seem so important down at the bottom, you know, material possessions, status, even certain relationships,
yeah,
might start to lose their significance.
It's like you're literally rising above the noise and the clutter of like everyday life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as you climb higher, you might encounter challenges, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Obstacles, storms, even moments of self-doubt. But each challenge that you overcome kind of brings you closer to the summit.
Right.
Closer to that expansive awareness and sense of connection.
Okay.
That they associate with awakening.
It's a beautiful analogy. It really captures that sense of growth and transformation.
Yeah.
That's possible when we embrace that self-awareness and embark on that inner journey.
Yeah.
But everyone's journey is unique, right? Well,
of course, there's no one right path or pace.
Yeah.
Some people might sprint up the mountain while others kind of meander along, taking in the scenery and enjoying the process.
It's like we all have our own personalized hiking trail.
Exactly.
And it's about finding the route that works best for you.
Right. And even if you stumble or you take a detour,
yeah,
you're still moving forward. You're still gaining valuable experiences along the way. Now, let's bring this back to something you were talking about earlier.
What?
The importance of honesty.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to those emotional intelligence tests.
Right. If you're not being honest with yourself, the results aren't going to be very meaningful.
Not at all. And that can be tricky.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to those emotions that we might feel ashamed of or uncomfortable acknowledging.
Like anger, jealousy, those kind of negative emotions that we often try to push down.
Exactly.
But the spiritual Sikh emphasizes that all emotions are valid.
Okay.
Even the ones that society might label as bad.
So it's not about judging those emotions.
Right.
But about understanding them.
Exactly.
And learning how to manage them in a healthy way.
Precisely. And that's where self-awareness comes in again.
Right.
By developing a deeper understanding of our emotional landscape.
Uh-huh.
We can start to recognize those triggers that set us off and develop coping mechanisms that work for us.
It's like learning to navigate your own internal weather patterns.
I like that analogy.
Yeah.
And just like you can learn to, you know, prepare for a storm or enjoy a sunny day.
Right.
You can learn to navigate your emotional ups and downs with greater ease and resilience.
It's empowering to realize that you don't have to be a victim of your emotions.
Exactly. But you can actually become the master of your own emotional domain.
Right. You have more agency than you think.
This all ties back to that inner world concept, doesn't it? If we can shift our inner landscape, maybe we can change our experience of the outer world as well.
The spiritual Sikh definitely hints at that idea.
Okay.
Especially in that awakening test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they suggest that as we become more conscious,
yeah,
we start to see how our thoughts and beliefs are influencing our reality.
Okay.
And it's not always a direct cause and effect relationship.
Right.
But there's definitely a connection there.
So it's not like you can just think positive thoughts and magically make all your problems disappear.
Right.
But shifting your inner world can potentially have this ripple effect outward.
Exactly. And that's why practices like mindfulness and self-reflection are so valuable.
Okay.
Because they allow us to kind of step back from those automatic thoughts and reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And choose a more conscious and intentional way of being.
It's like we're taking back the remote control and choosing what we want to watch on the screen of our lives.
I love that analogy.
Okay, let's lighten things up a bit. What about that mental age test? Can that really tell you anything meaningful?
Well, the spiritual Sikh is pretty clear that it's more of a playful snapshot.
Okay.
Than like a scientific assessment.
Yeah.
They acknowledge that younger people often score higher simply because they tend to give more definitive answers.
It's like they haven't learned the art of nuance and ambiguity yet.
Exactly.
It comes with age.
And older folks, you know, they often choose more carefree answers,
yeah.
hoping to shave a few years off their mental age.
Right, right, yeah.
So it all comes back to that sincerity factor.
So it's less about the score and more about what your answers kind of reveal about your perspective and approach to life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They give that great example, you know, with the question about illegal substances.
Mm-hmm.
Someone younger might say, drugs are bad.
Right.
It's simple. It's black and white.
Yeah.
But someone with more life experience might choose a much more nuanced response.
Right.
Recognizing that, you know, it's a complex issue with lots of different factors.
Yeah. The test kind of highlights those differences in perspective.
Exactly.
Which can be pretty insightful.
It can. And it's a fun way to kind of challenge your assumptions and think about things from a different angle.
Okay.
Speaking of fun, let's talk about the test that's designed to make you smile.
Okay.
The Youth Wisdom Test.
Yes. This one seems like such a unique and creative approach.
It is.
To assessing wisdom in young people.
It really is. And they emphasize, you know, taking your time and enjoying the process.
Okay.
Don't fixate on the results.
Uh-huh.
Just have fun exploring the questions and see where they lead you.
It kind of takes the pressure off.
Yeah.
And lets you just focus on the exploration itself.
Exactly. And they've accounted for that age difference we were talking about.
Right. Because a 15-year-old is going to naturally have more, you know, general knowledge than a 9-year-old.
Right. So to make it fair,
okay,
they've incorporated what they call an age bonus system.
So the younger kids get bonus points to kind of even things out?
Exactly.
I like that. What kind of wisdom are they actually testing for here?
They divide it into those three categories we talked about earlier.
Uh-huh.
General knowledge and history, individual maturity and social maturity.
Okay.
So it's this mix of knowing facts.
Uh-huh.
And having those deeper, more reflective insights.
So it's a very holistic approach.
Yep, yep.
Recognizing that wisdom goes beyond just, you know, memorizing information.
Precisely. And their approach to assessing these different aspects of wisdom is fascinating.
Okay.
So for general knowledge,
yeah,
they use questions about history proverbs, those timeless truths that have been passed down through generations.
It's like they're encouraging those kids to become like little philosophers.
Exactly.
Mm.
And for individual maturity,
uh-huh,
they focus on introspection, self-reflection, developing personal values.
Okay.
Helping kids kind of cultivate that inner compass.
Right.
That can guide them through life's challenges.
It's like that inner knowing.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then for social maturity, they explore things like empathy, communication skills.
Oh, wow.
The ability to build healthy relationships.
So it's recognizing that wisdom isn't just an individual pursuit.
Right.
It's also about how we connect with and contribute to the world around us.
Exactly. And remember how they present the results on this test?
Oh, yeah. With the Greek gods.
They incorporate Greek mythology into the scoring system.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that. How do Greek gods measure wisdom?
So each god kind of embodies certain characteristics.
Okay.
Both positive and negative.
Uh-huh.
So they've created this spectrum with the least wise being Polyphemus.
Okay.
The one-eyed giant known for his lack of insight.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed, metaphorically speaking.
Exactly. And the wisest, of course, is Zeus, king of the gods, renowned for his power and wisdom.
Okay.
But your score on the test kind of places you somewhere along that divine spectrum.
So depending on your answers, you might be more of an impulsive Aries or a wise Athena.
Exactly. It's a fun way to frame the results.
Yeah.
And then to add another layer of fun, they've got this quirky AI called Personality HPT Junior.
Right.
That gives these humorous comments based on your score.
So it's like having a virtual comedian narrating your wisdom journey.
Exactly. It's this reminder that, you know, learning and self-discovery should be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Not just the serious business.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking of which, the spiritual seek also includes that logical intelligence test.
They do.
Which might seem a little out of place with all this talk about emotional intelligence.
Yeah, it's true.
But they have good reasons for keeping it around.
You do.
I'm curious, why bother with an IQ test when it has so many limitations?
Well, they acknowledge those limitations, but they see the value in it for a few reasons.
Okay.
First, it can be fun.
Sure.
It's like a mental workout, you know, challenging your brain and flexing those cognitive muscles.
Yeah.
And second, it helps us remember that even with something as seemingly objective as an IQ test,
okay,
there's always more to the story than meets the eye.
So it's a good reminder that numbers don't always tell the whole story.
Exactly. And they emphasize the self-paced nature of the test.
Okay.
So you can take your time, really think things through without feeling rushed.
Uh-huh.
And they acknowledge that your score is influenced by more than just your inherent intelligence.
Okay, like what?
Your background, your experience with tests, and especially your age all play a role.
Right. We were talking about those age multipliers earlier.
Exactly.
So while it's fun to challenge yourself with an IQ test,
yeah,
it's important to remember that it's just one small piece of the puzzle.
Totally.
When it comes to understanding your intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now let's shift gears back to that idea of the inner world shaping our experience.
Okay.
We talked earlier about how our beliefs and perceptions can influence our reality.
Uh-huh.
But the spiritual Sikh actually takes it a step further.
Okay.
They suggest that our inner world can actually create our outer experience.
That's a pretty bold statement. Are they saying that we can, like, manifest our desires just by thinking about them?
Well, it's not quite that simple. They use this analogy of a projector.
Okay.
Our thoughts, beliefs, and emotions are like the film strip.
Okay.
And the world around us is the screen. So what we project inward kind of gets reflected outward.
So if we're constantly projecting negativity and fear,
yeah,
that's what we're going to experience in our lives.
It's not always a direct one-to-one correlation.
Yeah, man.
But they argue that there's this powerful connection between our inner world and our outer reality.
Okay.
So it's about becoming aware of those projections.
Yeah.
So we can consciously choose what we want to create.
And that's where practices like mindfulness come in, right?
Exactly.
Helping us to become more aware of those unconscious thought patterns and choose more positive ones.
It's about recognizing that we have more agency than we often realize.
Okay.
We're not just passive recipients of whatever life throws at us.
Right.
But active participants in shaping our experiences.
It's like we're taking back the remote control.
Again.
And choosing what we want to watch on the screen of our lives.
That's a great way to put it. We have the power to change the channel. Adjust the volume, even turn it off entirely when we need a break.
It's a reminder that self-awareness isn't just about understanding ourselves.
Right.
But it's about shaping our lives in a way that aligns with our values and aspirations.
Exactly.
But we don't have to do this alone, do we?
Not at all. The spiritual Sikh emphasizes the importance of community.
Okay.
And connecting with others who are on a similar path.
Uh-huh.
They even have a forum on their site.
Oh, cool.
Where people can share their experiences and support each other.
It's like a virtual tribe of seekers all striving to evolve and awaken together.
Exactly. That sense of community is so valuable.
Yeah.
It provides that safe space to explore and share and learn from each other.
It's like we're all in this together.
We are.
Supporting each other as we navigate the ups and downs of the spiritual journey. Speaking of support, let's circle back to those emotional intelligence tests.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of honesty.
Uh-huh.
But it can be tough to face those negative emotions, right?
It can.
Yeah.
We often try to push them down or pretend they don't exist.
Yeah.
But the spiritual Sikh emphasizes that all emotions are valid.
Right.
Even the ones that we might label as bad.
So it's not about judging those emotions, but about learning to understand them and manage them.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's where self-awareness comes in yet again.
Yeah.
The better we understand our own emotional landscape, the better we can recognize those triggers that set us off.
Right.
And develop healthy coping mechanisms.
It's like becoming a meteorologist for your own emotions.
I like that.
Yeah.
And just like you can prepare for a storm or enjoy a sunny day,
yeah,
you can learn to navigate your emotional ups and downs with greater ease and resilience.
It's empowering to realize that you have more control over your emotions than you often think.
Absolutely. And that mastery can have a profound impact on your relationships, your career, your overall well-being.
Okay.
It allows you to communicate more effectively, build stronger connections, and navigate conflict with grace and understanding.
It sounds like emotional intelligence is a key ingredient.
It is.
For a fulfilling and meaningful life.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
And it all starts with that willingness to look inward.
Yeah.
And explore our emotional landscape with honesty and curiosity.
It's about embracing the full spectrum of human experience.
Exactly.
Both the light and the shadow.
Beautifully put. By doing so, we can cultivate a deeper sense of self-awareness, compassion, and ultimately wisdom. Speaking of wisdom, let's talk about that youth wisdom test.
Okay.
It seems like the spiritual Sikh has tapped into something special with this one.
Yeah, I'm really interested to hear more about their approach.
Yeah.
It seems like they're encouraging young people to think about wisdom in a whole new way.
They are. They begin by acknowledging that wisdom isn't just about accumulating knowledge.
Uh-huh.
But it's about developing a certain way of seeing and interacting with the world.
So it's not just what you know, but how you apply that knowledge and how you navigate those complexities of life.
Exactly. And they break down that concept of wisdom into those three categories we talked about earlier.
General knowledge, individual maturity, and social maturity.
So it's a holistic approach, recognizing that wisdom kind of encompasses both our internal and external world.
Precisely. And their approach to assessing these different aspects of wisdom is fascinating.
Okay, how so?
So for general knowledge,
uh-huh.
they use questions about history proverbs, those timeless truths that have been passed down through generations.
It's like they're encouraging kids to tap into the collective wisdom of humanity.
Exactly. For individual maturity,
okay.
they focus on introspection, self-reflection,
yeah.
developing personal values,
oh.
helping kids kind of cultivate that inner compass
right.
that can guide them through life's challenges.
It's like that inner knowing.
Exactly.
Right.
And then for social maturity,
mm-hmm.
they explore things like empathy communication skills,
okay.
the ability to build healthy relationships.
So it's recognizing that wisdom isn't just an individual pursuit.
Right.
It's also about how we connect with and contribute to the world around us.
Exactly. And remember how they present the results on this test. Oh, yeah, with the Greek gods.
They incorporate Greek mythology into the scoring system.
Yeah, we've got to talk about that. How do Greek gods measure wisdom?
So each god kind of embodies certain characteristics.
Right.
Both positive and negative.
Uh-huh.
And so they've created this spectrum with the least wise being Polyphemus.
Okay.
The one-eyed giant. Known for his lack of insight.
Not the sharpest tool in the shed, metaphorically speaking.
Exactly. And the wisest, of course, is Zeus, king of the gods, renowned for his power and wisdom.
Okay.
So your score on the test kind of places you somewhere along that divine spectrum.
Right. So depending on your answers, you might be more of like an impulsive Aries.
Exactly.
Or a wise Athena.
Precisely.
Yeah.
It's a fun way to frame those results.
Yeah.
And then to make it even more fun,
uh-huh.
they've got that quirky AI personality, HPT Jr.
Right.
That gives these humorous comments based on your score.
So it's like having a virtual comedian narrating your wisdom journey.
Exactly. It's this reminder that learning and self-discovery should be enjoyable and not just this serious business.
Right. I love that. Speaking of which, the Spiritual Seek also includes that logical intelligence test.
They do.
Which might seem a little old school, given all the focus on EQ these days.
Yeah, that's true.
But they have good reasons for keeping it around.
They do.
I'm curious, why bother with an IQ test if it has so many limitations?
Well, they acknowledge those limitations.
Okay.
But they see the value in it for a few reasons.
Okay.
First, it can be fun.
Sure.
It's like a mental workout, you know, challenging your brain, flexing those cognitive muscles.
Yeah.
And second, it helps us remember that even with something as seemingly objective as an IQ test,
uh-huh.
there's always more to the story than meets the eye.
So it's a good reminder that numbers don't always tell the whole story.
Exactly. And they emphasize the self-paced nature of the test.
Okay.
So you can take your time, you know, really think things through without feeling rushed.
Huh.
And you could even use it for timed practice if you're prepping for a test that requires speed and accuracy.
Okay, so it gives you the flexibility to approach it however you want.
Exactly.
But they also acknowledge that the score is influenced by a lot more than just inherent intelligence, right?
Exactly. Your background, your familiarity with tests, and especially your age, all play a role.
Right, we were talking about those age multipliers earlier.
Exactly.
So while it's fun to challenge yourself with an IQ test,
right.
it's important to remember that it's just one small piece of the puzzle.
Totally.
When it comes to understanding your intelligence.
Uh-huh. Now let's shift gears back to that idea of the inner world shaping our experience.
Okay.
We talked earlier about how our beliefs and perceptions can influence our reality.
Yeah.
But the Spiritual Seek actually takes it a step further.
Okay.
They suggest that our inner world can actually create our outer experience.
That's a pretty bold statement. Are they saying that we can, like, manifest our desires just by thinking about them?
Well, it's not quite that simple. They use the analogy of a projector.
Okay.
You know, our thoughts, beliefs, emotions are like the film strip.
Uh-huh.
And the world around us is the screen.
Right.
So what we project inward kind of gets reflected outward.
So if we're constantly projecting negativity and fear, that's what we're going to experience in our lives.
It's not always a direct one-to-one correlation,
yeah.
but they argue that there's a powerful connection between our inner world and our outer reality.
Okay, so it's about becoming aware of those projections so we can choose what we want to create.
Exactly, and that's why practices like mindfulness and self-reflection are so valuable
right.
because they allow us to kind of step back from those automatic thoughts and reactions and choose a more conscious and intentional way of being.
It's like we're taking back the remote control and choosing what we want to watch on the screen of our lives.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
We have the power to change the channel, adjust the volume, even turn it off entirely when we need a break.
It's a reminder that self-awareness isn't just about understanding ourselves,
right?
But it's about shaping our lives in a way that aligns with our values and aspirations. All right, welcome back to our final deep dive into the spiritual seek and their collection of personality tests.
Yeah.
We've covered so much.
A lot of ground.
From how our inner world shapes our perception to, you know, the nuances of actually interpreting those test results.
Right.
But you know me, I always love those practical takeaways.
Yeah.
So for our listeners out there who are thinking, okay, this is all fascinating, but like, what does it actually mean for me?
Right.
What are some key things that we should keep in mind as we navigate this world of personality tests and self-discovery?
I think the first thing to remember is that these tests are tools, not labels.
Okay.
They can offer some really valuable insights, but they don't define you.
Okay.
So don't get hung up on the scores or the categories.
Right.
Focus on what resonates with you.
Okay.
What sparks your curiosity? What motivates you to grow?
So it's about using those results as a starting point.
Exactly.
For exploration, not a final destination.
Right.
So maybe my EQ score wasn't as high as I'd hoped.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to work on that area?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that leads to the second point.
Yeah.
Self-awareness is an ongoing journey.
Okay.
It's not a one-time achievement.
Right.
These tests provide a snapshot of where you are right now.
Uh-huh.
But remember, you are always evolving, growing, learning.
So it's not about striving for some perfect static version of yourself.
Right.
It's about embracing that ever-changing nature.
Exactly.
Of being human.
Which brings us to the third point. Be honest with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
These tests are only as accurate and insightful as the information that you provide.
Okay.
So if you're not being truthful, you're only cheating yourself.
It's like those which Disney princess are you quizzes.
Exactly.
Like, sure, it's fun to imagine yourself as Cinderella or Ariel.
Right.
But it's not going to reveal anything meaningful about your true self.
And when it comes to those more in-depth tests, like the awareness and awakening test.
Yeah.
Honesty is absolutely crucial.
Okay.
Because they require you to look inward to confront those parts of yourself that you might normally avoid.
That takes courage.
It does. And that's why the fourth point is so important. Be kind to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Self-discovery can be challenging.
For sure.
You know, it's okay to stumble along the way.
Right.
Don't judge yourself harshly if your results aren't what you expected.
Uh-huh.
Or if you uncover aspects of yourself that you're not proud of.
We've all got those parts of ourselves.
We do.
That we'd rather not look at too closely.
Right. It's about having compassion for yourself.
Yeah.
Just like you would for a friend who's going through a tough time.
I like that. And remember, everyone has their own unique journey, their own pace, their own challenges.
Exactly. There's no right or wrong way to do this.
Right. It's about honoring your own individual path and trusting the process.
Absolutely.
Oh.
And finally, remember that you are not alone.
Oh, yeah.
Connect with others who are on a similar journey, share your experiences, and support each other along the way.
I love that the Spiritual Seek actually has that forum on their site.
They do.
Where people can connect with each other.
It's like creating a community of seekers
who
are all learning and growing together.
That's really cool. And that sense of connection can be so powerful.
It is.
It reminds us that we're all in this together.
Right.
We're all navigating those ups and downs of life and trying to make sense of it all.
We are.
Speaking of making sense of it all,
uh-huh.
We've talked about how the Spiritual Seek emphasizes this idea of our inner world shaping our outer reality.
Right.
They even suggest that by shifting our inner world, we can actually change our outer experience.
It's a really powerful concept.
It is.
And while they acknowledge that it's not this simple cause and effect relationship,
right.
They do highlight practices like mindfulness and self-reflection as ways to become more conscious creators of our own reality.
So it's like we're taking back the remote control.
Exactly.
We're choosing what we want to focus on.
Right.
And we're shaping our experience with intention.
But they don't shy away from those challenging aspects of self-discovery either.
Right. Like those negative emotions, the shadows we all have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They emphasize that those emotions are just as valid as the positive ones.
Cool.
It's not about denying or suppressing them, but about understanding them and learning how to manage them in a healthy way.
It's like that inner world concept coming full circle.
Yeah.
If we can kind of shift our internal landscape, maybe we can navigate those challenging emotions with more grace and even create a more positive external experience.
Precisely. And that's where those personality tests,
yeah,
even the playful ones like that mental age test, can be so valuable.
Okay.
They offer a starting point for exploration, a chance to reflect on our patterns,
right,
and ultimately to become more conscious creators of our own lives.
And that brings us back to those key takeaways.
Yeah.
Those tests are tools, not labels. Self-awareness is a journey.
Uh-huh.
Be honest with yourself. Be kind to yourself, and remember, you are not alone.
Well said. And as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left wondering if we can consciously choose to cultivate more positivity, more compassion, more self-awareness within ourselves. Could that actually ripple outward and create a more positive and harmonious world around us?
Yeah.
Something to ponder.
That's a really powerful thought to leave us with. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the spiritual seek.
Yeah.
And remember, the journey of self-discovery
is
an adventure worth embarking on.